Access number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, rail 6. Now, what happened when you got to Bombay? Where were you going to? What was happening? You went into a transit camp first, didn't you?
Yes.
Worli transit camp?
Worli, Worli camp, Worli camp.
Now, what was that like? What were you doing there?
We were in huts. There was no lighting. If you wanted any lighting, you bought candles. You know, that sort of. But the main thing was that I was
Well, let's have a look at the conditions, because it's quite an old camp, isn't it? What were the huts like?
Old. Full of fleas and bugs.
Was there anything you could do about them?
Yeah. What we normally did was that we slept on what they call charpoys, so wooden beds, and we used to put the legs of the beds into tin lids with mess of paraffin or something like that in it. The idea was to stop the bugs getting up into the woodwork.
They were a real problem, were they?
Oh, yeah. And we used to go around the joints in the bed with a candle, burning bugs that were in there. It was all bugs, plenty of bugs.
Did you get bitten much?
Oh, yeah, fleas and bugs and, yeah. And also mosquitoes, of course, and mosquito nets, you know, that sort of thing.
What were the toilets like, Hannah?
Oh, yeah. Terrible. It was just wooden seats with holes on. And underneath were tin cans. And the... A cleaner, an Indian cleaner, would collect those periodically and empty the rubbish from the can. You know, no flushing toilets or anything like that. It was all just...
It was a smell.
Into
pretty
a
bad,
oh, yeah.
Flies?
Into a tin, yeah. Awful. Yeah.
And what about the food?
I can't remember a lot about food, but I think the kitchens that were, they weren't very hygienic. They weren't, not very good at all. That's about all I can remember about it.
Now, what were you waiting for? You've gone on your own, you seem to be a bit out on a limb. What were you briefed about what you were going to do, or were you briefed at all?
Yeah, I had interviews. Had some interviews.
And what were those? What were they about? What do you remember of them?
Well, I was told that I would be doing some flying on light aircraft, and I'd be around India, and I wanted to know all about it, but they wouldn't tell me, you know, just, oh, you'll find out later on, sort of thing. So I was sent from there to Chittagong, which is the north of India.
And when did you go there? Would that be September?
Must have been September, yeah.
And who were you joining there?
Well, I found out it was an organisation called V Force, and their job was to take agents in and out into Burma from India, and that's what I did. Flew a light aircraft and had about two passengers at a time. Either taking them in or picking them up and bringing them out.
Now, what aircraft were you flying? The single engine light aircraft, or which one? Do you remember? Oster?
Oster. Oster.
Good guess.
A-U-S-T-E-R. Oster. Oster, yeah. That's right.
Now, could you describe a typical mission dropping agents off into Burma? What would it be like?
Well, in some cases, they had clearings prepared by the local local Burmese, you know, some those who were on our side. they had clearings, and there was always a very short landing and takeoff, and so had to practice landing and taking off in short distances.
Was that difficult in the Oster, or was the Oster naturally good at that?
Well, for taking off, I mean, I would land the aircraft. The passengers used to get out and clear off quick. They didn't want to get caught, nor did I, you know. In fact, in the case of being caught, I used to carry three hand grenades. One was for the Japanese, one was for the aircraft, and one was for myself, you know. I had no alternative. That if I was going to be caught, I'd blow myself up, because I knew there were cruel people and they'd have fun with me, you know.
Now, who were these people you were carrying? Tell us a bit more about them. Who exactly were they? They were this V-Force people, but who were they?
Well, they
what they looked like?
They weren't V-Force. They were Force 3... I think it was 316 or something like that.
So you were V-Force?
I was V-Force. Yeah, they were a very secretive organisation. Very strange. They used to consist of British people, Indian, Burmese, even native trackers and people like that. You know.
And this was Force 136?
136, I think.
136.
I think it was called 136. I can't remember if it's 163 or 136. I can't remember. 136, I'm sure it is.
And what were they like, these people? I mean, you say they were all different types of people. I mean, would they talk to you, or were they...
No, they were very very secretive. Never talked about what they did. It was rather strange, really, a rather strange organisation, you know. You couldn't make friends with anybody. They kept themselves to themselves in many cases.
Now, how many other pilots were doing this with V-Force?
Well, there must have been others, but I didn't know who they, if they were, or who they were.
And what do you remember of this period? Any incidents that you recall from that time? There's not a lot in your memoirs about that.
No.
And what do you remember about it?
Well... I used to fly just above the treetops. So my I was always aware that there was trees, you know. And I couldn't look around and see what was happening down below, but the passengers could sometimes. And on one occasion, the passenger told me that as we came over a clearing, there'd been three Japanese sitting in a triangle, emptying their bowels. And as I flew over them, they leapt up and tried to rush away with their trays down around their ankles. I would have loved to have seen that, but I couldn't see it. And one fell backwards, unfortunately. So, must have been nasty. I didn't see that. The passenger saw that. We laughed about it. You know.
Any other incidents?
Not really. It's just that we, when we landed, it was left to me to take off again. And so I used to have to go to the tail and lift the aircraft up from the tail and turn it round into the wind, if there was any wind, or opposite sort of direction I'd landed in. And with the brake on, rev the engine like hell, and then in full bore, release the brake, and take off at about 30 degrees to the to the ground. It was called tail dragging. You know, that's something I did. I've been taught to do this by one of
that sounds difficult. Ago.
Yeah, it was. Mm. You had to be pretty good to fly one of those things, they tell me.
Mm. And these airstrips were in the jungle or in the hill country? Is it jungle mainly? Or both?
Not actually in jungles, in clearings, you know.
There was already a clearing.
You couldn't land in a jungle.
There was already a clearing, and the natives had just cleared it up.
Yeah, they cleared it. Yeah.
Now, anything else about those missions? Were you ever fired at or intercepted by?
Oh yeah, we were often fired at.
Who by? From the ground or from the air?
From the ground. Oh, there were no aircraft, no Japanese aircraft at all.
What type of ground fire was it?
Rifle, mainly. I used to take them by surprise, you know, and they grab a rifle and fire. And when I got back, I used to find bullet holes in the aircraft. Nothing, no terrible damage or anything like that.
They'd have to be fairly lucky to hit you with a
rifle.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, they would have lucky to hit me. You know, hitting the right of the aircraft with a rifle doesn't do any much damage at all, really. But they could have hit me, you know, in which case that would have been it, wouldn't it? Mm. Yeah.
And how many of these missions would you go on? I mean, was this a sort of daily affair or weekly, or what were you doing the rest of the time?
No, it's a periodically, that's all I can say. I don't know. There was no, it wasn't one every week or one every day or one every month. It was now and again, you know, when it was needed.
Now, what would you do the rest of the time with them? I mean, you know, you're not flying for a week.
I'll practice going from A to B using air pilage, what they call air pilage.
What's that?
Well, without using maps and navigation, you know, it was by spotting certain areas. And
so just getting cross-country familiarisation without maps.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you could fly and work out where you were.
Yeah. Mm.
That sounds difficult as well.
Yeah.
Did you get lost?
I learnt a lot in it. No, I didn't. No.
And how did you get on with the rest of the lads in V-Force? I mean, I know the agents wouldn't talk to you, but what about the other pilots? I presume there were other pilots.
I didn't see any other pilots. So it was a strange thing about it. Well, the only other chap I saw, he wasn't doing that. He was spotting for the artillery. That was his job. He'd pick out where the Japs were, and let the artillery know where they were. You know, he was spotting for the artillery. He was an army fella.
But he was completely separate from you.
Yeah, nothing to do with me at all.
Was he in an Oster as well?
Either an Oster or there's another light aircraft, an American aircraft. I can't remember. It's got a number, you know. I know the American aircraft got all numbers, haven't they? Yeah.
Now, how long were you doing this for? You were doing it from roughly September to roughly when?
Difficult to tell. Yeah.
It's not in your notes particularly.
One minute. We jumped into December. Oh. Only a short spell, like September and October only, and a couple of months, that's all. Because then I was posted back to the Royal Air Force.
Because this V Force was an army based thing.
It was, yeah.
Now, so where were you sent back to the Royal Air Force? Is this where you went back to?
A place called Sambra.
That's near Belgaum, is it?
Near Belgaum, yeah.
And now, what was this about?
Well, to do a lot more with the radar. And I was given a radar set that could be broken down into packs of 56 pound or whatever. I mean, a transmitter was in a box that weighed about 56 pound. The receiver weighed about 56 pound. We had petrol generators, weighed about 70 pound. And the aerial was carried by two people that weighed a few hundred, about 100 pounds, something like that. And you could put all this thing together to make a radar set.
Now, were you actually learning how to do that?
Yes, yeah.
And how did you find it? I mean, you had some radar training, practical radar training, but not a lot of theoretical training from the sound of it.
Well, I didn't need such theoretical, it was practical more than anything. And the chaps I was given were radar operators and mechanics anyway. So they knew what they were doing.
And you were basically learning, what were you doing, did the training consist of? Was it basically putting it up and taking it down? What training did you get?
Putting it up, carrying it around, putting it down, and that sort of thing, yeah. But we were set apart from the main station, and we were in tents. Some distance away from the station.
Now, what was your little unit? Because you were actually given a little unit of your own, weren't you?
Yeah.
How many were there of you?
I seem to remember about 20 RAF personnel. Yeah, and then later on, we went away, and we were
now. What type of personnel were you? You were still a sergeant, weren't you, or were you a flight?
No,
sergeant?
I was a warrant officer by then.
Warrant, yeah.
Yeah.
So were you the senior?
Yeah, I was the boss.
Right, and who did you have? What sort of composition?
Oh, one sergeant, a couple of corporals, some LACs, and some aircraftsmen. Mostly radar people. Mostly radar operators, but we had a couple of radar mechanics. We had wireless mechanics, wireless operators, wireless mechanics.
Medical orderly?
A medical orderly and a transport driver. And a cook. Yeah.
And
we were all taught to parachute.
Now, tell me about your parachute training. Was that there at Belgaum?
No, that was way away somewhere. I'm not quite sure where we went for that.
Well, tell me about the parachute training. I mean,
well, we didn't know that we were going to do that. It took us by surprise, of course. We went to this. We were posted to another station, and we weren't sure what it was all about, why we were going. And when we got there, there were balloons, blips all over the place. And they started to teach us parachuting.
Now, how do they teach you? What's the method?
Well, you start on the ground first of all. They teach you how to land and that sort of thing. But then they take you up in a gondola underneath a balloon. The gondola was made of bamboo with a big hatch in the bottom. Opened the hatch and there was a big hole, and you took it in turns of dropping through.
What was your first one to time like?
Not very nice at all.
Nervous then?
Yeah. Hated that. Well, we all hated the balloons. And then from balloons we went on to aircraft. That was much easier, much better. The old, what was it?
Dakota?
Yeah. Oh. Dakotas, that's right, yeah. And we bail out through the open door. And
you preferred that?
Oh yes, very much so, because your parachute is secured on a 30-foot streamer, if you like to know. So you had 30 feet before it opened up. But immediately you jumped out, you were hit by the slipstream, and that took all your thought away from anything else. You suddenly hit by this terrible wind, boom, and the next thing you knew, the parachute was open. And it's not as if you're dropping, it's as if the ground's coming up to you. It's very strange, yeah.
Did you learn to steer it? I mean,
to a certain extent, and the old-fashioned parachutes, you couldn't steer them very much. You had to be careful too. You couldn't pull too much on one side because you'd spill the
air.
You end up with a candle, and you'd hurt all this. No parachute, you know.
Now you also did night jumps, and night jumps over trees, over jungles.
Oh yeah.
Now that's quite skillful. Well, it's dangerous.
It was dangerous.
What were those night jumps like?
Not too bad, really. I mean, it wasn't really jungle. It was in areas where there were trees, just areas where there were trees. So as you came down, you looked for the tree and tried to steer yourself away from trees.
Were you taught what to do if you hit a tree? I mean, because you can hit trees. I mean, as you say, you can't steer them much.
No.
What were you to do if you hit a tree?
Well, it depended how high you were. If you weren't too high, you could release your harness and drop, you know. But if you were a long way up, there's not much you could do, really. You know, you needed help of others.
You probably just hung there.
Mm.
You never got caught in the tree from the side.
No.
Now, the other thing you seem to have been doing is some PT training, physical training, getting fit.
Yeah.
How bad was that? I mean, what type of PT training were you doing?
Well, what we did mostly was with our packs on our back. In the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening, we'd go trotting. That's all we really did, with heavy packs on our back, you know, to get used to that. That's it. That was our, if you call it PT, exercise. And, yeah.
Now, you were then joined by an officer and some Gurkhas. Well, no, sorry, a Gurkha officer. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Was he in charge then, or what happened?
No, we were joined by about 15 or 16 Gurkhas, I can't remember how many. They were always, they'd already been parachute trained, you know. And the objective was that when we went on drops, they were to protect us.
So they were a defence platoon?
They were defence, yeah.
And did you have any special weapons training before you went in? We'll discuss what the mission was later, you know.
Not really, no. We were issued with Sten guns, and that was about it, you know, nothing.
But you didn't practice with them much?
No.
So the idea was that the Gurkhas would protect you, but
yes,
you were there,
right,
to operate, carry and operate the what? The radar.
Radar, yes.
Now, so what happened next then?
Well, we got together with the radar, with the Gurkhas.
Did you get on well with them?
Yeah, very well. I couldn't talk to them. There were only two that I could talk to. They have people called Nikes, they're corporals. And using a bit of English and a bit of Hindustani, get by, in, you know, talking to them in that way.
And what did you think of the Gurkhas?
Wonderful people, wonderful.
What was so wonderful about it? You know what I mean?
You didn't tell them anything. You didn't have to do it. They knew exactly how to work, how to do. They knew what to do, you know.
They were well-trained, good soldiers.
Very, very good, very good. Yeah.
Friendly?
Oh, yes.
As far as the language barrier goes?
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm.
Did you operate as one unit, you know, or were you really separate? Do you know what I mean? Did you fuse together as a unit?
We fused together eventually. I mean, initially we were separate, but very quickly we fused into a whole unit. Oh yeah.